Today, I talk with Chris Smordo, an actor and filmmaker based out of Richmond, who is known for his work on Harriet, Glass, and It Comes at Night. Please welcome Chris Smordo to the show.
Thank you, Alex. I really appreciate the opportunity to be here.
Sure, of course. So you had a really pivotal role in It Comes at Night, and you just told me that that was your own film. What was that experience like for you?
Well, a lot of the independent films that I've done so far have been involved with the 48-hour film project. This was something we did last October for the Richmond Horror 48. And it was great. It was while I was heavily involved schedule-wise with the filming of The Good Lord Bird in Richmond, so I knew I wasn't going to have the usual time that I have to do a lot of the pre-planning and pre-production on that particular film weekend. And so my partner and I, Chase Capo, decided to let some of the other team members grab some of the reins on that particular project. And someone we had worked with a few times before by the name of Missy Mary had a great loose story idea that she brought into that weekend. It's a short film, 7 minutes long, and it's, you know, kind of, it's got some twists in it, but mostly about a young lady who runs a bed and breakfast, in sort of a remote, area, and, you know, her guests, tend to disappear a little bit. And, you know, we always like to play with the idea of unexpected, villains, not exactly who may think it would be throughout the telling of a story. Just makes it much more interesting. But it turned out I did have a little bit of time. I don't get a whole lot of advanced schedule notice when you're on a big project like that. So I was able to be there. I did have on screen, I just had a small role. I get killed off pretty quick, which seems to be always the case in my own films. I don't know if somebody's trying to tell me something, but I always end up dying. But you know, it was a fun weekend, and it if you watch sort of the progression of the films that we had done for 48-hour film festivals, that one being the most recent, you kind of get to see a little bit of our maturity. In our filmmaking process, how it's evolved, and kind of the pace slows down a little bit and things become a little bit more deliberate. And I'm really proud of that one.
Interesting. So speaking of the projects that you've acted in, other than your film, what's your favorite thing that you've ever acted in?
Well, I've had several different varying levels of involvement in film on bigger projects. You know, 80% of it has been background acting, which is always fun. That's how I started, and when you just get on a film set, or whether it's a feature or a TV show, it is a whole nother world, especially a large production. And it's just first full year of doing it, my eyes were as big as saucers, and just soaking in all of the carnival of activity that goes on. But I've had some really cool moments over my very short career. I've only been doing this for about 5 years now. But to work on set with people like M. Night Shyamalan and on Glass, just only for one day is just amazing, and you're just so starstruck. But I have to say that the most favorite thing that I have experienced is being the John Brown stand-in for Ethan Hawke on The Good Lord Bird this past year. That was 4 months of filming, and if you're not familiar with that story, it's based on the John Brown raids pre-Civil War. So he raided, in a factual character, raided Harper's Ferry, Virginia, which is now West Virginia. The armory there, he wanted to arm slaves to free them and lead a revolt. Essentially, he wanted to start the Civil War. And so James McBride had written a book called The Good Lord Bird, and he sort of fictionalized the story a little bit around the factual events, and made a very interesting story, won some awards for his book, and Ethan put that into motion to make it into a screenplay, and they chose Virginia to as a location to film the Showtime series, a limited series. It's gonna, I understand it's gonna be 8 episodes, but 4 months of filming, I was fortunate enough to be similar in age to Ethan, and all the things came together for me to be able to be his stand-in on the show. And, you know, it was almost there every day of filming. And just to be able to work with Albert Hughes, Peter Deming, the cinematographer on the show, I learned so much. Of course, as stand-in, you know, you're there while the crew is setting up the shot, and you know, oftentimes I'm there more than in front of the camera than it takes them to shoot the scene. All the prep work that goes into it, they very much shot that like a feature, and very, very, just a ton of crew, probably 250 crew a day. Large production, and just to be able to be with that level of access to that. Kevin Hooks also directed a few episodes, and it's going to have some actors like David Diggs. Steve Zahn is in this as well, apparently good friends with Ethan. They started out together in theater. Really, just to sit back and watch and be a part of that is any, you know, any actor's dream, or anyone in the film industry, just to see how they work and how the creative process comes together.
So you've worked on many large-scale films. What would you say is the most complex scene that you've worked on?
You know, Albert Hughes had a style. He was executive producer on The Good Lord Bird, and he developed an entire cinematography/director handbook, about 4 pages long, on how he wanted that film treated. And he refused to do any kind of panning shots. He did everything by crane movement or dolly movement, but no panning. And it was a long take. You may see a final edited scene that's a long scene, but if you pay close enough attention, a lot of different angles are cut into that. But Albert did not want to do that, and he wanted everything done in one take. And you're talking about probably having 5 or 6 actors having to hit 5 or 6 different spots throughout a particular take while the camera is moving on a crane. And everything, it takes so much time and effort to coordinate all of those things. And he directed the first 2 episodes, and you know, I remember trying to absorb everything as a stand-in. I have to hit the different transitional marks for lighting and the camera movement ahead of the actors, you know, filming the scene. And normally a stand-in just hits one mark, maybe 2, in one particular setup. And I remember they were trying to do all these camera movements, and I was hitting 5 or 6 marks throughout a take. And I'm like, wow, it really blew my mind. But I think it's going to, cinematically, it's going to be beautiful. I mean, anytime you can do a shot like that without a lot of cuts, is going to be, it's really going to draw the audience in, I think. And it's just going to look, it's going to look so good. But on the day, it was tough, I have to say. It was quite a bit to hang in there through all those.
So what would you say is your favorite kind of director to work with? Like, what do you like most in some of your favorite directors?
That's an interesting question. Directing is very much, it's a lot of things. And I think the ones, at least on the level of experience that I've had, are able to really effectively communicate with their actors. You know, a good bit of what, at least of what translates to the film, is how well a director prepares their actors for a shot. And, you know, some of them have different ways to do that. Some of them, you know, maybe don't emphasize that as much as they may emphasize other aspects of their film, whether it's action sequence or whatever. But that's where, for anyone involved in film, where it's really fun is when directors really communicate their vision. Because actors don't always get that in advance. And one thing that's always interested me about film is you always get, you know, have the impression that everything is really super planned. And it is. But there's only so much that you can plan of the creative process before filming of a scene takes place. And it's always impressed me how much of the creative process of making films is done that minute on the day with everything coming together. And just, I guess that's what it takes to get a sense for the space that you're in and how you're going to interact with that space and how you're going to capture it on film.
So with every person on the show, we do a 60-second rapid-fire questionnaire.
Okay.
Basically, these are, like, questions that are, like, quick, so you don't have a ton of time to think about them. You just got to, like, answer them right away.
All right, great. Let's go.
So you've got, like, 20 seconds to answer all of them.
All right, I'll do my best.
Okay. Ready?
Uh-huh.
3, 2, 1. Historical drama or horror?
Horror.
Improv or scripted?
Both.
Morning or evening?
Oh, evening.
Chocolate or vanilla?
Chocolate.
You're done.
That was it?
Yep.
How did I do with the 20 seconds?
You made it like 15 seconds.
Oh, nice. So, I could have thought about my answers a little better.
So what was it like working on Glass with so many big names?
Well, I did one day on Glass, just responded to an online posting that they had. Turns out, I didn't know this at the time until I got there, it was the last day of filming. So I didn't, the only main actor I saw in that was Sarah Paulson. I did get to take direction as a group in a background scene from M. Night Shyamalan. And once I found out that it was the last day of filming, I kind of had some expectation that it was going to be, you know, perhaps, and this was just in my own head, a little bit frayed nerves. You know what I mean?
Right.
You can imagine after a feature of that caliber, I don't know how long it shot, but I would imagine at least, you know, 2.5, 3 months. Yeah. That on the last day of filming, everybody's got one foot, you know, on the plane home and, you know, maybe not quite as chummy as they might have been on the first day of filming. But it was not the case, at least with M. Night and the way that he interacted with us in a scene. It was a restaurant scene towards the end of the movie after sort of all the main action took place, right sort of as the final montage of scenes were closing out the film. But it was great just to see how patient and deliberate he was in communicating to us in a group. And I can say that, you know, we don't, as background actors, get any idea of what's going on in the script usually at all, especially in advance. So he does have, in that particular scene, he really wanted a creepy vibe from a group of people. So we had to do several takes. We weren't quite getting the look that he was asking of us. But by the time he got around to like the fourth iteration of explaining to the group, you know, how he wanted us to turn, and we were in a restaurant scene and we were all supposed to be casually eating like normal. And then there was a particular moment where we were all supposed to just kind of snap and turn, and you know, someone was going to be presenting something very dark and mysterious. And I just remember how much, even in the moment, sometimes when you're on a set, on a film, filming a scene, you don't get, you don't know what it's going to look like in the edit. And so you just, you lose a little bit of that connection when you're filming. But in that moment, I can say my hair on my neck stood up from the way he really wanted that to be a creepy, creepy moment. And I remember that when we were filming it, that, wow, this is really creepy. This is really creepy. It came out in the film for sure.
So what was your experience like working on Harriet? Because I've heard a lot of the people I know from Virginia worked on Harriet. And I was wondering what your experience was like.
Well, I had both a crew role as a stand-in on Harriet, and I had a background role, several background roles on Harriet. A phenomenal to have met and worked with Casey Lemons, who was in one of my all-time favorite movies, Silence of the Lambs. For those anyone who may not know, she was in Silence of the Lambs, Lamb as Clarice's FBI roommate is who she was in that film. But she has gone on to direct many things. But she directed Harriet. I got to meet and work with and socialize behind the scenes and at crew with Cynthia Erivo. Just amazing. But I did stand in for the character Fox, who is sort of the right-hand man of the son of the family trying to track down Harriet. And I did a few background roles of the guys also trying to hunt Harriet down, and some police officers in some scenes. And, you know, period pieces are fun to do. You film in a period piece, you really have to get a sense of creating another time and place. And they do that with the costuming. They do that with the props. And, you know, it's just such a transformation to just pull up in your car and get shuttled over to set. And then each increment that you get further away from where you started that day in your car and with your phone and normal world, you get deeper and deeper into that world. You go and you... you know, you go through hair and makeup, and you go through wardrobe, and you start slipping further and further and back into time that they're putting you into. And then you get to set, and it's just all decked out with just nothing that's new and has any signs of regular world. And, you know, it's fun. It's a fun way to be for a little while. Get you out of your element and gives you some perspective on, you know, what it was really like. You know, you can think about, gee, slavery was bad, but until you are live and in person and you see someone get treated in the way that that things were done, then it'll change your perspective on how it is.
So would you say you kind of get lost in the story?
Well, you I don't know about lost. I mean, you have to be. You have to be transformed completely into that world in order to tell a story like that. Filming in Richmond. What brings a lot of this film to Richmond is a period piece, just because of the look and the charm and the character of this area. You have to slip into that world. A lot of these stories are worth telling and retelling. So many of these things are, you know, that's the art of history is to try and understand and put yourself into the context of these stories as much as you can. And nothing can do that the way that film can do. But as storytellers and as actors and filmmakers, you have to completely put yourself into that element or it's not going to come across on screen.
So my last guest on the show actually mentioned unions. And are you part of an acting union?
No, I am. I'm SAG eligible, but and probably weeks away from joining SAG. But I am not in a union at the moment.
What would you say is your favorite film that you've worked on?
I would answer this question only because I have not seen The Good Lord Bird yet, as far as a film. It's just not out yet. It would have to be Harriet. And one of the most accomplished films, projects that I've been involved in, and only in a very small way, but, you know, just to have Cynthia nominated for all of the awards. She's up for the Oscar coming up. She was nominated for the SAG Awards, and you know, it's really, really interesting to both be there in the moment and see it all get filmed, and how that translates to the final cut of the film, and to know that what you were a part of and what you saw really was well done, you know, as far as your peers and the acting and then the filmmaking community is concerned. It was award worthy, at least for a nomination. And you know, I would say for that reason Harriet would be top choice so far, but I have a lot of hope and expectation that Good Lord Bird is going to be up for some nominations, so that could very easily very begrudgingly replace my best experience or best film experience. Peter Deming shot this movie, and I just have the most utmost respect for Peter and his team for how that is going to look in the camera, and the work that he did shot after shot, putting into how that's going to be captured. And he was nominated for his work on Twin Peaks, the reboot, which I believe was also on Showtime. So I have every reason to believe that he wanted to put together a film that would also be the caliber to not only get nominated but to win. Ethan's performance is just going to turn some heads. You know, I was talking I was talking to someone about this question, and neither one of us knew the answer, but I do not believe that Ethan has done anything on television so far. So this would be his first you know, television role, albeit on a premium channel. But you know, this is basically an 8-hour feature film. I just have a lot of high hopes that this is going to turn some heads. You know, I don't think a lot of people know a lot about what it is, but it's going to be funny. It's going to be so much more funny than people may realize going in, especially with the subject matter. But this is going to be funny. I often said it was going to be the Blazing Saddles of our time. It's going to be hilarious, actually.
I hope that helps to also propel you in a new direction to work on bigger projects.
I can't complain. Since Good Lord Bird, you know, I've done some other fun stuff, and just to have that as you know, the feather in the cap has get some attention, I'm grateful for it.
So, what got you really introduced to the whole idea of acting and doing film things? Because that's such a like a niche thing. Like, there are a lot of people that act, but especially film and television acting is very different.
It is. You know, I have a very big appreciation for anyone trying to transition even from going to theater acting into film acting. It is just not the same beast. You know, acting is acting, don't get me wrong, but film acting is so much different. But I wish I had a very deliberate and thought out answer for you on that. It was really, my first experience in acting was on the film, the TV show Turn, Washington Spies. I did 2 seasons on that, and it was really the first time I'd ever done anything. And I quite simply, a friend on Facebook just shared a news article from the local paper about, you know, the show doing an open casting. It was on a Sunday, and I was like, you know, it was a couple days out. I'm like, you know, what do I got to lose? So I just went and did that, and, you know, next thing I know, I get a call, and they're doing marching training, so I'm learning to march as a soldier. I was a red coat on that show for 2 seasons, and, you know, learning rifle drills and all of that from the armor, who also did the same for the movie The Patriot with Heath Ledger and Mel Gibson. So, you know, you just start, it's once you get a taste of how, what kind of world you're stepping into and how big that world is, it's big and it's small at the same time. You know, one thing just leads to another. And you get a taste for it, either you hate it or you love it. You know, it's not for everybody, especially background acting. There's just a lot of waiting around and that sort of thing. But you know, it's just fun. It's like nothing you'll ever do. And if I would encourage you or anyone listening to, if they ever get a chance, whatever role that may be, to do something on film or be on a big film project, to just do it. Yeah, I call it it's like living in a carnival. It's like living in you know, your state fair when it comes to town for several months. It's just fun.
So, did you act in plays before?
Mm-mm. I mean, I did plays in high school. I did a lot of singing in high school. So I definitely got comfortable on stage and in front of mics and doing the thing. But I did not necessarily do a ton of acting.
Do you enjoy watching historical films?
Oh, yeah. Personally, in college, I was a history major. Yeah, when I'm at home and TV is a background for me as I'm doing whatever around the house, it's on the History Channel or Smithsonian Channel or, it's hard as an independent filmmaker to make historic pieces, period pieces. It's just so much involved with creating the world, recreating the world that you need to film in through costuming, and it's hard to get through that entirely and make it right. People's hairstyles are so much different now, so you're limited in how that will look. And you know, if you're doing a small independent film, it's not the easiest film genre to try and tackle. Your production costs are going to go way up unless, you know, you have a connection or something in the specific area of period of time that you're looking to film.
So you had one scene where there was blood like dripping
out of a bullet wound in my head.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. As far as makeup and stuff, were those people that you, all the people that worked on that project, were those people that you already knew?
Oh yeah. Yeah. You, on a 48, you assemble your crew and you get people committed to those dates and filming and the locations and where to be. And you get all that ironed out, ahead of time. So yeah.
Well, thank you for coming on the show and, taking your time and coming down. It's greatly appreciated, especially considering you live like an hour away.
No, this is great. I have to say that the film festival here at William & Mary and meeting you and seeing how passionate people are about film and just your ambition at your age and doing what you're doing is something I will support as long as I can and be there for you.
Thank you.
All right.